Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Nerd Soup. I am Bo Oliver, joined here today by Aaron, the Nerd Soup Monkey, and Teddy, and we are back for another Mandalorian Season 2 spoiler discussion for Chapter 15, the second to last episode of Season 2, The Believer. Ted, might as well get your thoughts first.
Yeah. So,
well, how are you?
I'm doing all right, man.
That's good to hear. Aaron?
You don't care.
That is true.
Well, when I first watched the episode, I was torn because I did like it, but I thought it was one of the weaker episodes, but I since then rewatched it, and I don't think it's one of the weaker episodes anymore.
Wow.
And I still like it. I think it's actually pretty strong. It was good acting. Bill Burr killed it.
Well, I said this on the initial review, the real review, if you will, that if this was a...
If I may.
If this was like episode two, and it kind of hit the same beats and centered around the same type of thing, I think it would have been much more well received in my own brain, because at this point in the season, I'm thinking that we're going to get like last season, where the kind of two final episodes, it could almost be viewed as like a one long episode, and it was more connected and heading towards the end game for the season. This one felt like another, you know, side quest mission. You know, it pushed them towards the end, but it wasn't really as connected as I would have liked it to be, especially episode 7 of an 8-episode season.
Yeah, I agree. Expectations for this episode were very high, and it didn't meet expectations, but the episode itself was, I think, a solid episode.
Usually in Star Wars, the performances is not the thing that stands out. And with this episode, it relied on the performances, the dramatics, the acting. The two performances by Pedro Pascal and Bill Burr, I thought, were both really great. Bill Burr being the standout.
Stop trying to get Bill Burr an Emmy.
Maybe he's coming hot for that Emmy. But yeah, no, the action set pieces were just repetitive. There was nothing that really stuck with me after the episode except for Bill Burr hitting that shot at the end with the cycle rifle.
Really? But that fight on top of the train, you didn't find that like nice seeing him fight without his armor?
It was fun. I think that's the cheapest the show has looked in action so far, where I could just tell that that's a green screen. That's just him standing on top of a... Not a train, just a giant contraption that's moving back and forth or something like that. It was exciting in the moment. I mean, the moment you're building up to the TIE fighter saving the day. That's what was interesting about this episode. Bill Burr's character, Mayfield, kind of getting into the politics that are dominating this time period and poking fun at Mando over his extremist beliefs.
Yeah.
All that stuff was good. But like I said, short runtime, you're expecting them to get into Moff Gideon, that this is going to be an episode that leads into the finale, and it didn't. And that's unfortunate.
The point of that fight scene, though, I did like how they portrayed how he really is with his fighting. He was taking those shots, and he was anticipating for his armor to block those shots, and he was actually getting hit, and he was like, oh, shit, I gotta actually fight now?
Yeah, Daredevil fighting, where Daredevil actually takes hits. We've seen that before in Mando as well, yeah. That he's just not going to run through everybody.
Right.
And he didn't have the armor to back him up, the bulletproof armor.
I thought it was cool, too. I saw on Twitter, it's like if you watch his movements closely when he has the mask off, it's like he doesn't really use his peripherals because he's used to having the helmet on, so he's doing like full head turns and things like that, full body turns. So little details like that, like the not having the Beskar armor and him blocking shots and just breaking it.
He looked like he was, like, lost, though, too, it felt like, without his helmet on. He's, like, losing his religion, he felt like, without his mask on.
Yeah, that's the dream of you being in your underpants in high school.
Right, yeah, exactly. He felt lost, yeah, exactly.
And it was nice of Bill Burr, like I mentioned, he was...
sympathetic for it, too.
Yeah, that he tells him, this never happened, I never saw your face, gives him back the helmet.
I think Bill Burr was poking fun, thinking that he was never going to do it. Then he actually did it. He was like, oh, this might hurt him.
Well, he kind of just answers his own question there at the end. So why do you keep the helmet on? Is it because you can't show your face? You can't take off the helmet? I don't really know. It's just part of my code. And Bill Burr, like you said, he comes to respect that in the end. He's witnessing what this guy is trying to do for this little innocent child.
I'd been pissed if I was Bill Burr. I mean, not only is he a sick Mandalorian, sick fighter, coolest character in the galaxy, he's also, like, not bad looking, too.
A stud? I forgot how good looking he was.
I'd rather him be ugly. It's like, oh, you have all those things, but you look like shit.
I don't think they're really competing for women in this universe. They seem to just be in the middle of shit just all the time.
Bo-Katan.
I doubt that. You think there's going to be a Bill Burr, Bo-Katan, Mando love triangle?
You never know, man. Do you think Mando taking his helmet off will lead to him leaving it off, and maybe he does realize what Bill Burr is saying, that maybe I don't need to wear my helmet, or he'll just stick with his religion and what he thinks?
I don't know. I think it will depend. I mean, keeping the helmet on is good for battle. because it is a pretty powerful substance.
Good for a look, too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, maybe at times we'll see him interact with more characters with the helmet off moving forward. Because it's Pedro Pascal.
I have a feeling, like, if they do save Grogu, like, he's going to take the helmet off and, like share, like, a moment.
That'd be sweet.
Yeah.
It's going to be a Grogu, use your powers, I'm going to take my helmet off and get us out of this mess.
A lot of people got a kick out of the Boba Fett line in this episode that he can't go in and infiltrate because they may recognize his face. Didn't get much of Boba Fett in this episode, but he uses the seismic charges at the end. Did you notice that?
Yeah,
from the Attack of the Clones? That was really cool. And yeah, Cara Dune gets a couple of action scenes. Fennec, she spots them with the sniper. She's the lookout. But maybe that's what you wanted from this episode, is giving these side characters more to do. But it's a give or take, because then you don't get that great development for the Mayfield character. Yeah. Does that character need such tremendous development?
Never know. It might.
Yeah.
If, like, he's gone, right?
They kind of just let
presumably, like, he's, like, just...
in a random planet.
We may never see him again. You know, if, like, Boba sticks around, maybe he can have, like, a scene like that where you get more insight into him, or Kara, or Fennec, if she's going to stick around. Like, further develop a character that we're going to see in the future. But, I mean, for what it was in that moment, he was tremendous at just portraying somebody with, like, PTSD and anger and just, I don't know, like, not being able to control himself.
Yeah, that was a strong scene at the table, man. That was very emotional.
We mentioned on the other review that's the actor who played the Night King in season 4 and season 5 of Game of Thrones.
Really?
Yeah.
That's sick.
So that evil face, I'm sure that something in the back of your head recognized.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got an edgy face.
He does, man. He's got a creepy-ass smile.
That man was all about the Empire. Empire lives on. Perfect type of 10,000 villain. Troops.
Yeah, it's a perfect Star Wars villain, like I said. Just an asshole.
Yeah, straight
just
evil.
Just a guy that, just puts his own power above the lives of his soldiers, because he can.
You know, I do like the way you put it, Aaron, that if this episode, like if we put all these episodes in a line, not knowing the order, I could see this episode in this season, but I just didn't like where they put it. I definitely agree with that.
I think last episode probably would have been a better lead up to the finale.
Yeah.
They had to change some things around, obviously, with story-wise, but, you know, if you hit all the same beats and kind of... We'll see how the finale is. I'm hoping it's like an hour plus, and then they can really dive into a climactic cinematic showdown, but it all depends on if they hit the finale, because if I watch it next week and I'm like, could have been more, there should have been more, then I'll just be disappointed. If they hit everything they need to in that finale, then it's like, okay, then I can accept this.
The finale definitely needs to be over 50 minutes, right?
Yes.
If I hit that pause button when it first starts and I see 35 to 40 minutes in that range, even under 50 minutes would be a bit disappointing. It all depends on how much they're able to get done within that time frame, but you would imagine that with the stakes being so high, with so many characters that they've introduced, with possible characters making their return in this episode, Moff Gideon not really having much to do this season from an action standpoint, that this episode would be the epic finale that we thought would begin in Chapter 15. But I hope it's satisfying, because I've enjoyed the season up until this point.
I just hope we don't get a Night King Part 2 with a waste of a big bad, because they built so much on Moff Gideon, and we barely saw him. And
I think that they have to know better than that.
They had their chance this season to really flesh him out, and they didn't.
Well, I don't mind a villain not being fleshed out. Like Vader in the first two movies, I mean, the two best Star Wars movies, he's in the first one for like 10 minutes. He's in the second one for like 15 to 20 minutes. And he's fucking amazing in that second movie, right?
Well,
So if Moff Gideon kind of gets his Vader moment and then goes out like that in a blaze of glory... How much? I mean,
I'm saying more or less like we still don't really know his plan, man. Like we don't really know what he's trying to do still. And
right,
he's trying to clone the baby and get some Darth.
Do we get that answer though?
We're guessing right now.
Do we get that answer? That big answer of what Moff Gideon, what they're actually doing with Grogu?
I don't think so, because I think this is going to go into season 3. I don't think we're getting it then.
But how long are you going to keep this story, his presence surrounding everything, going for?
Unless you kill it this season, then it's the next episode, then it's going into season 3.
Well, they can get into more of Moff Gideon's backstory, because he was on Mandalore, and that's how Mando recognized him in season 1.
Mm-hmm.
He returns from the dead. That usually happens with Star Wars villains. So maybe they'll flesh out more of his backstory and also give us the answers as to what they're doing with Grogu. And then if he bites the bullet at the end, maybe we're satisfied, or it does continue into season 3. He's a fantastic actor. So
the only way I can see it continuing is if he gets Grogu back, but they already got what they needed.
Right.
And he's able to develop his force-sensitive soldiers, troopers, for Palpatine, or whatever the true
exactly plan you want to know, don't you? What the hell the plan is and who's then, who's behind it?
Well, it also sounds like they'll have to kill Grogu to accomplish that. That's kind of what they mentioned in that one episode. I doubt that will happen, but I wonder if it's if they can succeed and continue on. Kind of an everybody wins situation.
Yeah, and now it's, you know, Mando has to team up with the Jedi who finds Grogu to help defeat these new, I guess, dark troopers, force-sensitive troopers or inquisitors, whatever they are.
Yeah, I don't hate the idea of Moff Gideon using Grogu's blood to make a Snoke, make a Palpatine, but also doing his side thing. Maybe he has other plans for Grogu's blood. So you kind of get Moff Gideon's master plan while also giving us some more information on what Palpatine and Snoke were doing.
I think,
or how the fuck they were born or created, reanimated, I don't know.
I think if Mando gets Grogu back, season 3 is going to be him being a father to Grogu while he trains the Jedi.
I also heard, too, I don't know if this is true or not, but there's rumors that we're going to get like a flashback of Grogu being saved from the Jedi Temple.
That'd be sick. Oh, in this episode or later on?
Nah, I heard that on, who said it? I think it was on like LCD or something.
You sure you
just
didn't dream it?
Maybe.
Or just think of it just now?
Yeah.
That's what they said, and, you know.
Who said, who's, Nerd Soup Aaron?
It's somebody with 214 followers on Twitter.
No, I think it was Lights Camera Podcast. They're pretty big. So, and they know all their Star Wars shit, and they're in the know, so.
I mean.
If it doesn't happen, then bad journalism.
Easily, best part of the episode is Mando going 10 toes down on Moth Gideon. At the end, when he says you have something in mind, you don't know. Wait, what did he say? You have what I want?
Yeah, he repeats what Moff Gideon said to him.
Yeah, end of episode 7.
It's always close. I do have to make a point, though. That was very gangster of Mando, leaving him the aggressive voicemail. Movies, TV shows need to retire. We're a lot alike, you and I.
Yeah.
I watched Mulan last night, and of course Mulan had that line. Please, just...
Live action?
Yes, live action Mulan. It was terrible. That's a line that needs to be retired, dude. If I hear that one more time from a movie...
You're a lot alike, you and I.
Someone needs to be like, yeah, you know what? We kind of are. But I
Did
still
Donald
like
say
it.
That to Iron Man?
Probably.
He had to,
no,
right?
No, he didn't. See, that was much better. He was just like, I respect you. And Iron Man's like, fuck. I don't like you. I don't want your respect.
One day, I'm going to write a script.
I'll take that respect.
With every single trope imaginable in it.
Every single cliche line.
Every trope. It's just going to be nothing but cliches and tropes.
The science
the
guy
thing.
Explaining something in science. English, please.
But I don't know. Looking forward to this finale. I think for certain we're going to get Bo-Katan. I think Ahsoka, like we said, still up in the air.
I wonder if they'll give Mayfeld the Han Solo save, where they're in a tight spot, and they set Mayfeld free, because he kind of does watch them as they fly away, and you wonder in the back of his head, is he thinking, I owe them more than this?
Yeah, but he's in a jungle. He has nowhere to go.
Bad negotiating tactics
Star
by him,
Wars
though.
Characters always...
You have to just figure
Google
it out,
Maps in the galaxy far, far away is very efficient.
Yeah. He's awful negotiating. He's like, what do I get out of this deal? And he gets nothing. He's like, okay. Guess I'll still do it. No, hold out.
You get a good view.
Play hardball.
I mean, you can't really play
hardball. I watch
hardball.
A ton of SVU and SVU and Criminal Minds. They get
always
a better
a deal
guy
to
help them, and they always hook them up with something.
For a second, I thought you were somebody else.
A room with a view on Tatooine.
Then he shit himself and Mando comes out.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah, I mean, a Scarif is a nice planet. On Rogue One, that'd be nice. Negotiate for a nice apartment condo on Scarif.
What about Fett's new armor? What'd you guys think?
Very clean. Yeah.
Spray painted the hell out of that.
Spray painted it. Yeah, took it to Los Santos Customs.
People were upset.
I liked
that.
It.
They're like, everyone liked the gruff ones. I don't mind the gruff look, but... Like,
it's like coming up and rocking like an 06.
Yeah.
06 car.
It's a shame that just don't want our people to...
If it was like a full set of gruff armor, I would have liked that. But the way it was previously was just like pieced together.
Yeah.
And like, all right, so if you're not going to have the full suit and have it gruff, then... I like a nice polished suit.
Yeah, I thought he looked very clean.
They just look awesome when they stand next to each other.
Yeah, they Both do. They look like father and son. It's just great to see Temuera Morrison, an actor coming from the prequels. It's just awesome to hear him talk lines in that voice. Like I said, him dropping the seismic charges. That's the fan service that you just love. Because it's appropriate. They're getting the way. They have the ships on their ass. So what does he do? He drops a seismic charge.
Drops the bomb on him.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure Boba Fett is going to have a lot to do in the finale, as will Cara Dune and Fennec. And we're probably going to see those characters show up in other shows. People are kind of upset that Greef Karga doesn't seem like Greef Karga will be in the season finale. But yeah, like I said,
what's for him to do, though? There's not a lot for him to do.
Right, you know? Yeah. He's a veteran. He's an older fella. So, and he's got to keep the peace on Devaro, and he seems to be doing a good job of that.
Yeah, I would have liked more of him this season.
Yeah, me too. He's my favorite.
So that's disappointing. But like I said in the finale, on the real review.
Say it again.
The official review.
I do think the post-credit or, like, you know how last time we had Moff Gideon cutting out the Darksaber?
Yeah.
It's going to be set up like that, but it's going to be the Jedi.
Right, I
whichever
agree.
One it is that is going to come out of the shadows.
Well, who are your guesses?
Mace Windu.
Mace Windu? Aaron?
I can't see Mace, man. I think it's going to be Cal or Ezra.
Okay.
Because that's more, I feel like...
I think it won't be
more
Ezra.
Filoni, though.
I think they're saving him for the Ahsoka show. That's why I don't think it...
But it's Filoni, so you would think Ezra. Cal, obviously, I don't know who wrote the story for Fallen Order, but that's like... still like recognizable, but not fucking Mace Windu or Luke. So I don't think they'll go too big with it.
I'm gonna say Cal. I think Cal would
Obi-Wan? No, he's dead.
He's dead, yeah.
Because I always forget the fucking timeline.
No, he's coming back. Just
I know,
Hayden Christensen
from before.
Yeah, I know, it's very confusing. We'll talk about that Obi-Wan show, but not
is there
thrilled.
Time jumps in Star Wars yet?
Say that again?
Is there like time warps in Star Wars yet?
You mean time travel?
Yeah, you know. Multi-universes.
I think there is. I think they introduced time travel in Rebels.
You serious? I was joking.
Once you introduce time travel in something like Star Wars, the multiverse, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's too much. You want it, though. I'm saying I don't want it.
I don't want it. I was just making a joke. I didn't know really.
Avengers is more... it works better for Avengers. Because it's all bullshit, you know? Star Wars is bullshit, but...
grounded.
No.
Who is the Jedi with Cal in the game? Was she a Jedi? Or was she
yes. A... Well, no, she kind of cut herself off from the Force.
Same as Ahsoka.
Does she survive at the end of that game? I think she does, right?
Yeah, they're a team.
Oh, yeah, no, so he might have a crew with him.
I know, he has a squad.
That would be fun, yeah, no, he does have a little squad.
And
I wouldn't hate that.
Introduce a new Jedi.
BD-1 was his name.
Ah, right, yeah. I wouldn't hate the idea of just some random actor showing up with a lightsaber, with a robe. Mm-hmm. That would be interesting to get another Force user that we've never seen before.
Or like it's
any other, just someone who escaped and someone who's been doing shit, I don't know.
Or like it's an envoy from Luke. Like he got the message and he's like, hey.
It's R2-D2?
No, but it's like one of his like...
R2 and Chewbacca.
Oh, fuck.
I didn't realize that could happen.
That's a squad.
That's a possibility. But you're saying an envoy, just a random person. Like on behalf of Luke.
Like someone
Skywalker.
Luke is training. It's like, okay. Hey, go check this out for me.
Right.
Or
that I wouldn't hate that. Yeah.
Yeah. Or it could be
young Jedi in training.
R2-D2.
Imagine that, dude. It's R2-D2 and Chewbacca with a transmission from Luke.
Or Leia. Sierra Junda was the Jedi's name.
Envoy for Leia.
Could be Leia, man.
A lot of possibilities here.
I hope they give us something.
They had like the, it has to happen.
Yeah, it's a good tease for the next season, right?
I mean, they're not like
that's how you keep people
interested.
When
they tease shit like we saw in this episode with them taking off the helmet. They fulfill it.
Right.
It's not like like complicated to figure out, you
their
know.
Their teases are like cheat meals. You get one tease a week and it's a full cheat meal.
Yeah.
And they hit you with everything.
It's not like for their teases. Cersei being killed by Tyrion or Jaime.
Yeah. And it's more like we're not discussing like if we're going to see a Jedi.
Yeah.
Because they pretty much set it up. It's like, oh, which one it's going to be. And that's kind of, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah. So I think we all enjoyed the episode and we previewed the finale a little bit. You guys want to go to fan questions?
Yeah.
We have some good ones. This one here from Ansley Maitland Smiles at Greywind 115. Should Mayfeld be one of the main crew as he is a fan favorite?
I thought he was going to be after this episode. I was surprised that they let him go.
See, that's why I think that there is a chance we could see him swoop back in the finale. And
he's useful, man.
Stop playing with that. I hear it.
I can hear it too.
We're definitely going to see him. I think come back in season 3. And it could be another case of he comes back for an episode. Or maybe because he is such a fan favorite. And Bill Burr is a big name that he gets 2 or 3 episodes.
He's a big Star Wars fan too, man. On his podcast, he talks about it all the time.
That is awesome. He's got like a decent filmography, dude. I mean, he was in Breaking Bad for a few seasons. Now he's got Mando under his belt. He's in King of Staten Island this year. Yeah, He's having a moment.
Yeah, I guess there's always a chance for him to come back, but maybe not for the finale. Maybe it's something they reconvene and talk about for future seasons, seeing how the reception from fans were.
He's the guy they go to for side missions when they need help.
He is the fixer. This question here from Lucky Chris 02 at Chris Mayoral. Do you think that there will be a chance that Mando will gain the Black Saber in the finale?
If he does, I think he'll give it to Bo-Katan as like a gesture. Like, here, take back, take the Mandalore seat. And
I saw people speculating on Twitter that possibly could be Din who goes on to rule Mandalore.
That's not his thing, I don't think.
Your point is correct, yeah. He's a mover. He's a guy that's always on the move. He's an explorer.
Yeah. But bounty hunter. I think he wants to get back to bounty hunter.
I wouldn't mind he holds the Darksaber for a bit until he reunites with Bo-Katan, but we all think Bo-Katan's going to be in this episode.
Yeah.
So the only way I could see him holding it indefinitely is if Bo-Katan dies, and I doubt that's going to happen because we just met her, and that would be kind of cheap, and stop playing with that.
We'll definitely see him fight with Gideon with his spear that can deflect lightsabers.
Yeah, we're definitely going to see that.
Here's the thing, though. Do you guys see Gideon as a... you think he's nice with it?
Yeah, what do you think? They're going to make him whack?
He doesn't look like he's a good swordsman, man.
You think Christopher look Lee looks like he's a good swordsman?
Can you see him Ian fighting McDermott? With a sword, guy?
Can you see Palpatine fighting with the sword? He whipped out the sword.
He's got the force.
Yeah, special arc. Yeah, he's got the force, too.
What if he goes for this kill shot and he just puts his hand out and stops it?
That would be fucking dope. At this point, he would have done something with the force.
Nice, saving his bullets.
Yeah, he's only got a few left. He's like Grogu. He takes a nap every time he uses it. He's like 70.
This question here from Neeson Nato. Do you think that we'll learn about how Moff Gideon acquired the Darksaber in the finale? Well, we did kind of just talk about this, wondering if we are going to get more information on Moff Gideon. The Darksaber is a sword that kind of just travels throughout Star Wars history. And sometimes it appears and you know how it got there, and other times you just kind of don't.
I wonder how long he had it for, not how he got it.
Well, knowing Disney, they're going to announce the Moff Gideon show.
Yeah.
How Moff Gideon got the Darksaber.
And that's the backstory.
I think that's a long shot, but hey, maybe we will. This question here from Vic at Van City. Would you want Mark Hamill to play Luke Skywalker if he's in Mandalorian, or a younger person? We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Younger person.
Yeah, you can't have, 5 years after Return of the Jedi?
Yeah.
You can't have Mark Hamill play him. I think it depends how much we get of him. If it's just a quick little thing, then maybe you can do CGI. But if he's going to be in the show, then you have to go younger.
Yeah.
And they have the ties with Sebastian Stan. That's the big fan casting everyone's talking about. So it's not out of the realm. It's not. I don't think it's like far-fetched at all. And they've recast characters before. Look at Alden Ehrenreich as Han Solo.
He must be wondering when his show is getting greenlit. Just watched all these fucking shows except for him. The CGI will look stupid. Mark Hamill is awesome, but he looks like he's a 65-year-old man.
Maybe if we do see him like in a transmission where it's like a small little R2 one. You can do CGI, you can have Hamill's voice, maybe.
Yeah, and wouldn't
can,
hate
like,
that.
You could tinker it a little to make planet. It sound like it did when he was
But just get
younger.
An actor, right?
I can see him doing some shit where he has like a hood on and you can't really see his face.
I was a fan of the idea of recasting Leia for the last movie because I think you can get another actor in there to continue to honor that role. Now, I'm on the same boat here. Sebastian Stan is sitting there. I don't care how big his head is. Put him in the robe. This question here from Luke at Luke 578-36059. Do you think Thrawn will play a big role, or do you think the Mandalorian will mostly focus on Gideon?
Thrawn looks like it's very much going to be the main villain of the Ahsoka series.
Yep.
So
that was a way of introducing him.
Well, that's why Ezra, I think, won't show up in Mando, because if Ezra does show up, then it's as simple as Mando calling Ahsoka, saying, I've got your boy. So I think they'll keep Ezra in the shadows. I don't think he'll show up. And same thing with Thrawn. I think Thrawn was just a name drop for a future Ahsoka show. This question here from Old St. Nick at Azor Ahio. Don't you think Pedro Pascal should be able to act without the helmet more often? It feels so wrong to waste him like that.
He's not being wasted. They upped his dialogue in this season. I don't think he's being wasted. I mean, I think it'd be better. Nah, not better. I would like to see him with his helmet off more often,
What's the split? How many times is he actually in the suit? Or is it mostly just voiceover, or is he in it all the time? I have no idea. Because if it's just like a mostly voiceover, then it's kind of, You can just look at it as it's just a voiceover role, which many big actors take.
I didn't even think about him not being in the suit. Is he not in the suit?
I'm not sure.
You blow my mind right now. You put the piss me off.
I mean, it's not, that wouldn't surprise me.
I'm really? Sure he is for...
I mean, Doctor Strange isn't Doctor Strange for, like, all of Endgame or Infinity War, I'm pretty sure. Showed up for 2 days, shot his scenes, and it's mostly body doubles. Sorry.
All right, I don't need to know all this, all right? It's
just... I mean, Iron Man's also not in the suit when he's flying around.
What TGI?
CGI.
What did I say?
TGI Fridays.
Wait, Fridays I said CGI. On your mind?
I said CGI.
It's so funny editing whenever you mess up and then hearing you mess up and then you defend that you didn't say it that way.
I really didn't say it. There's no way I said TGI.
You got Fridays on your mind.
The other day you called Grogu like Grogi or something like that.
That didn't happen. You play back?
Yes. Yeah, you did. It's like maybe he didn't say it.
Regardless, though, if this is like the start of him being more loose with his interpretation of the Creed and takes his helmet more often, it's always good to see more Pedro. I do like that kind of aspect of it. Like, he's just a kind of like a man with no face in the suit of armor, very intimidating. But I think, you know, they could give Pedro a little more.
It was definitely worth the build up because that was such a great scene. Mm-hmm. Him taking off the helmet and then paying close attention to the details of how he was going to turn his head. So it paid off so far, but the armor looks really great. And yeah, just a man with no face traveling around taking bounties. Not anymore, but
last season,
cool. It's badass.
Last season on IG-11, the loophole was that he was a droid.
Right.
So I don't know. Maybe this does change his thinking towards these things.
Maybe. This question here from Self-Loathing Kai at Kai Baratheon. Who dies in the finale? I'd say Cara Dune and maybe Fennec. I would say my best
Dune's
guess...
Dune's not dying.
I don't think any of them are dying. Because my best guess would be Boba Fett. Because Cara Dune, it looks like she's going to be in another show. Unless that's a prequel. And Fennec looks like she's also going to appear in one of these other live-action shows. So, like I said, we don't know when these shows are going to take place. Boba Fett is a guy that's... I guess they kind of gave him like this, not a redemption arc, but a return arc. So if he sacrificed himself for the next generation, or like if he steps in front of a bullet that's meant for Din, I guess that would be an honorable way for him to die. But once again, I think Boba Fett might get his own spinoff show too. So who are you killing here? You're not... Moff Gideon, I guess, would be the...
I can see Bo-Katan dying in a fight to Moff Gideon, and then Mando takes the Darksaber and... defeats Moff Gideon.
That's it. You can't kill your franchises. You can kill Nick Nolte in season one.
I was so mad they killed him off. That was fucked up.
You need stakes, though. I mean, this is a show where I don't think I would be too, like, if everyone survives. That's Star Wars, right? Everyone survives, it seems, especially in those original movies. But it's something where, like, I wouldn't be too upset, but in, like, a different show where you're like, obviously, you need some stakes here. Like, Game of Thrones, that world is brutal and people die.
Someone dying definitely grounds the show.
If somebody doesn't die with consequence, or if there isn't a good reason for someone dying in Star Wars, with Star Wars, I just don't want people dying for nothing. Like, your death really does have to mean something, if you catch my drift.
Well, it's like you said, they introduce characters, but now they're making these characters main characters. Like, these side characters that they're introducing are becoming so into this series that it is hard to kill them.
Yeah, and when you... I think Han Solo's death, you kind of get that feeling of... wow, this was just here for shock value. This was just here to kill off Han Solo.
I think a lot of things try to do that after Game of Thrones. I know Walking Dead did.
Walking Dead definitely did it.
I never watched it, but like you just see fan reactions on Twitter. It's like, oh, it's like, wow, we need to get the buzz going, so we're going to kill your favorite character or one of your favorite characters.
Right, yeah. They don't really understand why it worked for a show like Game of Thrones. And that always happens when something big comes out and people try and take... the best aspects of it.
How did that work, though, man? When Game of Thrones, when they killed off Ned Stark, like, how did that work? That's so crazy. The main character.
It works
season
because
one.
He was so like he had so much screen time in season one, and then he's always talked about for the next four or five seasons. It's everything that he did before his death that really that's his impact on the story. It's how
and
he
it was
molded
something
his kids.
Like it's like it didn't like turn you off. Like obviously you were upset, but you're like, man, Rob's coming now. I fucking hate Joffrey. I hate the Lannisters. Now Rob's coming. Oh my God, let's go. Let's get this revenge going.
That's and absurd,
like,
though.
It stirred something in the viewer where it wasn't like, oh shit, Ned's dead. Why am I going to watch? It was like, no, I want to see.
Yeah. You just build
the eventual,
up more revenge.
Yeah, avenging of Ned, which
Yeah, all you have a bunch of revenge-filled fan base that wants to see Rob succeed, and then he mm-hmm. fucking fails. And then,
do you guys think we'll see in this Mando series 3, 4, or 5 season, like in season 3, 4, or 5, we'll see Grogu with a lightsaber?
No,
no, me neither. I think it's too
maybe if there's if they ever do a time jump where he's a bit more mature. Yeah, yeah. But no, that man, what is he gonna do with the lightsaber? Just fly around in that pod? That would be funny as fuck, dude. If he was flipping around like Daddy Yoda.
He has trained with a lightsaber, though, right? Or they said that maybe. He was just training with the Force, maybe?
Maybe Jedi? He was training with the lightsaber.
Maybe we'll find out.
Yeah, no, I think he needs to just age a bit. This question here from Cal. Is it annoying you guys on how bad they are treating the Stormtroopers? They seem to be the most useless entities in the galaxy.
Welcome to Star Wars.
Yeah.
That's their role.
I would like to see an interpretation of Star Wars where the Stormtroopers are just badass, but they've kind of...
I think we did with Mando. I think that was our interpretation of what a badass Stormtrooper would be.
Just Mando himself?
In the Stormtrooper outfit.
Yeah, that is true. They always talk about how there's different ranks. You know, the Stormtroopers, if their armor gets cooler, that usually means they're more lethal.
Or they're just doing something different.
They just have a special job.
It's like Phasma, I guess, was supposed to be like the big six.
Who bodied Phasma?
Finn. Who didn't body Phasma? Yeah, Finn was always giving her the work. Throwing her in the garbage or...
And I guess the other Stormtrooper, the traitor one that Finn fought, he was like...
That's your favorite guy, huh?
Everyone loves him.
You brought him up two reviews in a row.
He's a capable Stormtrooper, but everyone else is kind of just target practice. And their armor is fucking useless.
Yeah, they may want to invest in some new armor here.
It's the Family Guy joke when the Ewoks, like, it's like our armor can't deflect stone arrows.
This question here from Gregory at CR_egg. Would you rather have a lightsaber with no force powers or a set of Beskar armor without a jetpack?
Lightsaber. I'm not lugging around Beskar.
Yeah, your legs would be chopped off within a week.
No way.
Yeah.
What's worth more?
Ooh. I think the lightsaber would be worth more.
To the right person, though.
On our planet Beskar or Star Wars? In Star Wars, it seems to be worth... Beskar is more valuable.
Yeah, take it.
But Kyber crystals are also valuable, man. Mm-hmm. Don't forget in Rogue One, they were mining those crystals. It's a big industry.
I don't trust myself with a lightsaber.
I mean, what's cool, the Force has a lot to do with being able to handle a lightsaber to its max efficiency. I feel like you can, like, you one... Because the Kyber crystals are Force sensitive. You connect to it, you kind of know where it is, and it's more like a limb. Right? You never punch yourself in the face. If you're just some rando with a lightsaber, you're cutting off everything.
All three of us couldn't handle either. Because you make a good point about that armor. You walk 1 mile in that armor, you're going to be in the hospital.
Mando's not that big,
you
though.
Wouldn't even attempt to put it on. Mando's not even that big.
He was slinging it around like it was like
you
a
make
fucking,
points
like
about yourself,
game.
And then when I agree with them, you disagree.
I've always thought it as like Valerian
Steel.
I
don't like hearing it.
Like it's like Valerian Steel, super lightweight. But ultra strong, maybe it's like that.
Valerian steel armor, I'm pretty sure, would still be heavy.
Not heavier than regular armor. Get on my back, Dad.
I'm not that heavy.
You're going to come in limping like me next review.
Slip a disc.
All right, guys, that is our review of The Mandalorian, Chapter 15.
I don't think my neck can handle that helmet.
The Believer. Yeah, no, my neck is... I slept on it wrong last night, and I've got a crick. I need to go to the Cairo. And thank you guys for listening. And joining us for this review, leave your comments in the comment section. Let us know what you think is going to happen in the next episode, the season finale of The Mandalorian Season 2.
Please be good.
You never know with Star Wars, man.
Could you imagine?
Flip a coin.
All this great series, season building, and then you fall flat on the last episode.
Mando goes crazy and burns down a city. Well, would you look at that? It's finally over. Hey guys, Beau Oliver here for one final send-off. Now, before I beg you guys to like and share this video, I'd like to thank our very special Patreon pledgers. We are very proud of the community we've been able to build here at NerdSoup, and it would not have been possible without our Patreon supporters. You guys are the true MVPs of this channel. Everything I've said, you keep the fridge full, you keep the lights on. There aren't enough words to thank you guys, but we'll do it anyway. Thank you. And we have a few videos coming up that have been suggested to us by Patreon pledgers. My Hero Academia, Neon Genesis Evangelion, and Full Metal Alchemist will be reviewed by Marissa and yours truly, and Castlevania, which will be reviewed by Marissa and Aaron. And if you'd like to consider donating to our Patreon page, you can visit patreon.com/nerdsoup and check out some of the rewards we offer to our listeners. And really, we'd like to thank everyone who takes the time out of their day to watch our videos. Patreon pledge or not, your support is what keeps us motivated to keep giving the world our opinions on movies and TV shows and video games and pop culture, even though no one asked for it. We're still here, we're still yapping, and we hope you continue to join us. I'm Beau Oliver, and I support this message.